Lights. Camera. Action. It's the KSL Movie Show.
The end is inevitable. Your kind is headed for extinction.
Maybe so, sir. But not today.
The week's big movie review, movie news, games, and prizes. Here's Andy Farnsworth and Steve Sales.
Right now, we are being so unoffensive, we might as well be a Hallmark Christmas movie. You know what I'm saying?
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
To be fair, Steve Sales, we are being unoffensive because we just haven't had time to be offensive yet because we just began the show.
It's coming.
Don't worry. Give us a few more minutes.
Yeah.
Welcome to another episode of The Movie Show. We are live at My Hearing Centers with our Sandy location. We've got a lot of movies today, Steve, a lot of different things to talk about, almost to the point where I, for some of the movies, I feel like I have a lot to say about some. I don't have anything to say about some because I wasn't able to get to some. And I just want to say, Steve, you're looking better today, a lot less pale than you were last night as
don't
you
even.
Left the movie Saw.
Leave no man behind.
Well, we left you behind, and you took one for the team, and man.
Seems like there's a lot of that going on.
By we, I mean mostly just me.
By the way, I've seen so many movies this week, there might be some cross-pollination here as far as
what you remember.
Yeah.
I believe it. I was fortunate to be able to see our big movie of the week, The Creator, last week, so I had some time to, you know, not have that crammed in with all the other things.
Yeah, I
that
saw
we
it Tuesday
watch.
Night. I think I've had enough time to.
Well, no, but I mean, I just didn't have to put that all in with everything else that I had to watch this week. So, all right, well, let's get started with the movie show preview. Sponsored by
the following preview has been rated G and is appropriate for all audiences. The Movie Show special feature.
And it is sponsored
you
by
paused.
Kyle
That's
Kleinwirtz.
What you, yeah,
I
you
did. It was a small pause on my end. That one's on me. Steve, let's get through the list quick, and then we'll give out our text question, which Movie Show Club members already know and have already started responding
to. Oh, those stinky little buggers.
Yeah, indeed. But what's our movies this week? We said The Creator. That's our big movie of the week.
The Creator, yes. And then we have Paw Patrol, the mighty movie. Is it the mighty Paw Patrol, the movie?
No, it's Paw Patrol, the mighty movie.
Yeah, that makes no sense. Then we have Saw 10, Doug Wright.
Oh, you know what? They called it Saw X on ABC this morning.
Idiots.
So I have no idea.
It's a Roman numeral. Look it up.
I agree with you. I agree with you.
Okay, fair play. We'll see. The Kill Room. The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar.
This one is going to surprise people.
I like this one. Gen V. If you've seen The Boys, get ready.
Oh, boy.
Reptile. There's no snakes in this movie.
But there's a snake skin.
Yeah, that's true.
For
and
one
most
second.
Of the people in the movie are reptiles. But
pretty much.
And then probably my favorite of the week is Flora and Son.
I saw that last night, and I may just agree with you.
Really?
I may just agree with you.
Look at you.
That's a lot of things, though. And I'm going to just say up front, I was not able to get to Saw 10.
What?
I know, shocking. But here's the one that I actually feel bad about, is I was not able to get to Paw Patrol, the mighty movie, last
Only
Saturday.
Only because your kid wanted to see it.
Well, he did. And no, I mean, for the family movies,
the
I
kid.
Like to be able. Well, he's 10. So
what's his name?
He's the youngest. Zach.
Zach. Sorry, Zach. I would have rather you gone than me.
Right. Well, it was FanX, and I had stuff I'd already committed to in FanX before we found out about the Paw. Well, I thought it was funny. Like, the guy who mostly talks about family movies and has the young family right now is the one who's not there, and his Steve is trying to stay awake during Paw Patrol on a Saturday morning.
I'm telling you, it is the cure for insomnia. There's no question. I was fighting the good fight. I had toothpicks, the whole thing.
Yeah. Thankfully, no one was there to verify that you did stay awake for the whole movie. And we won't make you recount the entire plot.
No, I was awake.
Okay.
98%.
I'm impressed. 98% that I'm sure of. Yeah. We'll see about the rest. So that is the movie show preview. We have all that. Plus, we have our telephone torture. And our theme this week, based on the Paw Patrol, is a dog-related movie. So our questions will be about a dog-related
movie. Dog Day
movie.
Afternoon?
That one will not be one of them. The Al Pacino movie from 1975 that came out the week I was born. That's the reason I ever watched it. I was like, what's the movie that came out the week I was born? What was the number one movie at the box office? Dog Day Afternoon.
Okay, Rain Man. Gotcha.
And it was...
That definitely is 1975.
It was. So, we have that, and the worst thing I watched this week, and the movie show top 10, and lots of movie news.
Well,
this
we got
week.
Ahsoka. We have Only Murders in the Building.
Yes, we've got season series. Well, season possibly series finales for both of those two coming up this coming week too.
True.
So, penultimate episodes, and then our big movie question of the week, the text question that we want to hear from you on today's movie show. What's the movie that bombed at the box office, but that you love anyway? Nobody saw it. Maybe you didn't even see it when it was in the box office, but then you saw it and it became one of your favorites. So you can't use Avengers Endgame. You can't use an Avatar movie because we're looking for ones that nobody
under
really
2 billion.
Saw. Yeah. Nobody really saw that might be considered a bomb and that, but that you love. I can give you a couple of mine right here. First of all, I know people hated it, and I talked about it quick last week when we had our clips with Charlie Hunnam, but I really liked King Arthur, Legend of the Sword.
I did too.
From 2016. And it bombed at the box office. It bombed so hard that they had a franchise planned, and it got scrapped after the one movie.
How do you do a franchise with King Arthur?
Well, they just tell more stories about him, maybe gathering the Knights of the Round Table.
Ah.
They can tell other stories that maybe aren't specific legends.
One would be building the table.
Yes, then there was the part where they get it finished with a nice lacquer.
Yes, nice lacquer.
But that bombed. And then here another one, which kind of the same era, I really enjoyed the World of Warcraft movie. Now, nobody
one.
In the U.S. did, but it made a lot overseas, which was where I just get a little bit of hope that we'll maybe get a sequel. I just thought it was a cool world that they built up. And I never played the video game, so I was like, this is pretty interesting.
You know, I actually complimented an actor once about being in a movie, and
yeah.
I really liked it. And he goes, oh, you're the one. I've never had an actor actually trash their own movie.
Well, sometimes they know, I guess. Sometimes they know why it was a bomb overall.
I keep thinking of bombs.
Harrison Ford
bombs.
Thought Star Wars was going to be a bomb.
Did he really?
He did. So
Harrison.
He was wrong. So, yeah, you can't list any of the Star Wars movies either because they did well at the box office. Okay, here are a few texts here before we go to break. Let's see. Waterworld. That's somebody's
favorite.
Yeah, but
that did pretty well.
Did it?
Yes.
That was when I was out of the country. Here's one called A Walk in the Woods. Now, I don't know what that one is, so I'm going to have to look that one up. Here's one that's not a surprise. It's a Wonderful Life. Bombed at the box office.
That's right.
But it's one of my favorite movies
that's
of
easy.
All. So those are some good suggestions. Movies that bombed at the box office, but that you love. That's what we're looking for. Text that to 57500, and we will read your texts as the movie show goes along this morning. When we get back, we will talk about the big movie review.
And now, the big movie review. Andy and Steve have everything your family needs to know about the biggest release of the week.
All right, it is time for the big movie review, and it is sponsored by Paris RV. It's the creator.
What's heaven?
It's a peaceful place in the sky.
Are you going to heaven?
No, you gotta be a good person to go to heaven.
So, we're the same. We can't go to heaven because you're not good, and I'm not a person. They're coming to get me.
I'm like a bodyguard. I'm getting you out of this.
Take care of her.
I promise.
All right, Steve, it's a big swing from Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, director Gareth Edwards.
Is it, though? Do you see the budget number on this thing?
No.
Take a guess.
$150 million?
80.
Really?
$80 million.
So you spent that all on special effects, because those special effects were pretty impressive.
Unbelievable.
So, well, I didn't realize, so maybe it's not as big a swing as I thought it was.
Well,
because
yes.
I just thought it was more expensive than it was. But anyway, so we've got The Creator, a science fiction film that explores questions about artificial intelligence. AI in this, it's set a few years in the future after apparently we have not just AI that creates movie scripts or AI that can make weird-looking commercials on YouTube, but this is AI that, like, gets its own robotic type body and can is autonomous and sentient and not in America because an AI set off a nuclear bomb in Los Angeles, and so America has been at war with artificial intelligence ever since. AI is kind of hiding out in parts of Europe and Asia, And the U.S. is trying to hunt it down wherever it be on the globe.
Yeah, what happened? Suddenly, it's America versus New Asia is like the only two worlds that exist in this movie, which is fine. I mean, that's
okay. They didn't have time. I mean, it was already 2 hours and 15 minutes. They didn't have time to go explore the geopolitics of the rest of the world.
That's true. Only $80 million to spend. What are you going to do?
Exactly. Just think how long it could have been if he'd had $160 million.
But John David Washington, he plays the lead. He is a soldier who... we find out, he's pretty roughed up, and
he's an ex-special forces guy, from what I understand.
Missing a leg and missing an arm, he's all roboted up because, it's, 2065 or something like that.
What can he say, Mother? He's half machine.
Yeah, but...
That's an Arrested Development
The good
reference.
Half. So... He's
but
there.
He's out. He's tasked to go find this creator.
Yes.
Like, that's his job. Is
Nimrata
to go find,
or what? Nimrata?
Something like that. Yeah. They don't know. The U.S. doesn't know who the creator is. They just know of the creator. And their intelligence says that the creator has developed a weapon that will end the war with the humans.
Yes. And so he's so close. And yet the Americans come in, shoot everything up, and just make a mess of the whole thing. So his whole project is just gone. And he's also...
And he's also married.
Yeah. And what happened to her? Uh-oh.
Yeah. And so he's devastated, but then they say, we think we found the weapon. Now we need you to lead the task force to take it out.
Because it's close to where you were
And then there's
thing.
A personal reason to motivate you to go and do this.
Okay, that's where we're going to stop. Good.
Yeah.
I like it.
And so that's the plan, is he's got to lead a team in to find this weapon, as you heard in the clip. It's a kid. I mean, that's, if you've watched any of the trailers, that's what it is the AI weapon is a kid. Which then, of course, goes to all the questions. And this is where it becomes a sci-fi movie rather than something like a space opera kind of a thing, where it's actual questions. If something has sentience, whether it's organic or whether it's mechanical, does it have the same right to exist? What makes something sentient? If it shows compassion, does that make it sentient, or is it just following programming? Those are the questions that it asks.
Well, in the case of New Asia, where someone may have lost somebody, but their essence is still there, they create this sort of simulant or whatever.
Yeah, that was kind of a funky little thing. There are definitely some innovations that Edwards has come up with, and this, I believe, is this based on a book? I meant to look that up, and I forgot to look it up.
No, this is absolutely...
It's an absolute straight-up creation of Edwards and the writer. Okay.
Yeah.
So then they create this cool way where if somebody dies, for a split second, you can grab their last couple minutes and stick it in an android so you can interrogate them. I felt like it was a little bit like the Pushing Daisies, where you can touch them back alive for a sec, ask them who killed them, and then touch them back dead again.
Was that the Dungeons and Dragons movie?
No, but I think they had something like that.
Where you could wake the guy up and ask him a question. Asked three questions.
That's Dungeons and Dragons, that's right. I forgot about that scene. I was thinking back to a 2000s.
You know what kind of amazed me about this movie? Not only was the action good, and the little girl, I mean, had never been in anything before. This is her only... credit on IMDb. This is it. Her name is, what is it, Madeline Una Voiles?
I don't know.
She's unbelievable. I mean, she was so emotive, and even though, she was a part human, part whatever.
Was she human? That's the other question. Is she human at all, or is it just like, because there's those masks that robots could put on to look like somebody that you love, so it's like they're still alive.
But the emotions were heavy in this.
Oh, yes.
And Allison Janney has an interesting character.
Allison Janney reminded me of Jane Lynch's character in Wreck-It Ralph. The army general from war game that Wreck-It Ralph goes to get the medal.
Yeah.
Like, Allison, I was getting serious Jane Lynch war vibes from Allison Janney in this movie. Well, and she has her own reasons. Like, I will give credit. Everybody that does something has a reason that you actually could say, okay, I at least believe why you're doing this.
Understand why they're doing it.
Yeah. Whether I disagree with your actions or not, I at least get why you're doing it. And so I got to give credit. It was long, and there were some stretches where I just really felt disinterested. I thought the visual effects were just unbelievable, especially on such a small-ish budget compared to what things can cost. There's a space station thing that the U.S. uses, the Nomad that they call it, that orbits the Earth, and it would be terrifying if you saw it in the sky flying over, that they made a lot of use of. For me, I gave it a 2.5 just because I wasn't moved that much. And, none of the questions I felt like it asked None of the questions I felt like it asked were really that unique.
I loved it. The time, it was 2 hours and 13 minutes, but I knew that going in. That always helps.
That's true.
And I thought it was an amazing piece of original filmmaking. I mean, it's not based on anything else but Garrett Edwards' story. And I thought, wow, what a movie. I thought it was incredible. B plus for me, maybe an A minus.
And that's the creator rated PG-13 in theaters everywhere. All right, we'll take a break here at the bottom of the hour for news, traffic, and weather on KSL News Radio.
It's the KSL Movie Show.
It gave the audience feelings they weren't sure they should enjoy.
The week's big movie review, movie news, games, and prizes. Here's Andy Farnsworth and Steve Sales.
Like a slice of butter melting on top of a big old pile of flapjacks.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
I'm really impressed by not just the number of texts that have come in about our text question of the week, a movie that bombed at the box office that you loved, but also the wide variety of texts that people have sent in. Steve, really? Listen to some of these movies. Let's see. I might be a little strange, but I liked The Last Airbender.
Wow.
I know that people very strongly dislike that one. Plus, John Carter from Mars. I'm probably the only one in the state of Utah, but there you have it, he says.
Those are his two?
Yeah. Last Airbender and John Carter from Mars.
Well, now we know who watched it.
All right. I don't remember if it bombed or not, but Shrek the Third. That's right. I said it. Judge me if you want. LOL. Grandma's Boy. That sounds like an Adam Sandler movie.
It is.
Is it? Okay.
Well, I think it is.
There are two beloved movies that bombed at the box office that became beloved later. The Wizard of Oz and The Princess Bride.
Ooh, nice.
Princess Bride's a good suggestion, except I remember my parents going to that one in the theater.
Well.
The Big Lebowski is one of my favorite movies. That must be from Doug Wright. That could be considered a box office bomb. It only grossed $18 million in theaters. So.
Seriously?
That's what they say.
Wow.
Let's see. Far and Away, starring Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman.
Oh, that was good.
Let's see. Another John Carter vote. That's
Whoa.
Two. Thank you, Texter. I am a fellow World of Warcraft movie lover, but I played the game. Okay, well, that's how I differ from them. I didn't play the game, and I enjoyed the movie anyway. Oh, here's one. That Wild Wild West with Will Smith and Kevin Kline. It's so bad, it's good. Well, they got part of it, right?
Ah, if we're going to do that, so bad, it's good.
Well, but I mean, because remember, nobody saw it. And then there's a couple votes for Shawshank Redemption. Was that one a flop at the box office?
I don't think so.
Well, Stone is going to have to check that for us. Xanadu. Xanadu.
Wow.
I saw that at my aunt and uncle's house. They had a laser disc player, and it was on half the time when we went over there. That's the only reason I even know what that is. All right, 57500. We'll keep taking your texts throughout the show. Movie that bombed at the box office that you loved. But all right, Steve, let's review another movie. How about Paw Patrol the Mighty Movie?
I think we've got superpowers. I feel the need for super speed.
I'm a wrecking ball.
Surf's up. Look at your paws.
We're going to need a new name for ourselves.
How about the Paw Patrol?
But more. But just a little bit extra.
How about the Mighty Pop?
Steve, wake up.
I'm here.
Wake up. I know you just flashed
I
back.
I did slip into
long,
a coma.
That long Paw Patrol clip. All right, Steve. Well, I didn't get to see this one, so take it away.
It was a Saturday morning. Nothing like a Saturday morning, 10 a.m., with 1,000 kids in a theater.
Saturday morning at 10 a.m., I was doing a panel at FanX with Don Brinkerhoff and Kellyanne Halverson.
Whatever.
I was.
I know. So, Paw Patrol. I thought I saw this movie a couple years ago, and I did.
Oh, it's the same as the free?
No, they were just the Paw Patrol before. Okay. Now they're the super-duper Paw Patrol, whatever they call themselves.
Mighty.
The Mighty.
Movie.
Pops or Paw something.
Paw Patrol. But you know what would be interesting? I wonder if it would help if they had, like, a slogan. Do they have a slogan that could help you remember it by?
Something that came up probably every other sentence was, "No challenge too big, no pup too small."
So you there's heard that more than once in the movie.
Yes, that is a recurring theme. Basically, this very bad woman, she deflects a meteor, and it lands right on the Paw Patrol headquarters. What?
In Adventure City?
Yes. And wow. Whoa, but fortunately, they all ran out. But then the meteor bounces along, and they all like, ooh, look in the hole. And they become superpowered.
Okay.
You know,
a superhero origin story.
Sure.
That happens a lot.
Yeah. So now they can do stuff that they couldn't do before. But
so now they don't need their cars and trucks and stuff that they usually use?
No, the one little lady pup, she can fly now.
Oh, she was the plane pilot, wasn't she?
Yeah. See how convenient that was?
How convenient that is.
You know, it's cute. I'm not gonna rag on it because
it was not aimed at Steve Sales' demographic.
No, and most of the parents in there were like, you know, looking at other stuff. The kids were enjoying it, and here's the key. If larva aren't running back and forth in the theater, then it works.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so that's the first thing. If you look around and you see kids, like, flailing about, they're running up and down the aisles.
If it holds their attention,
yes,
then they've got something.
And they all howled at the end in appreciation with the dogs, so everyone went home happy.
Oh.
So for the kids, yes. For the parents, that's why you're your parents.
And here's the thing. It's expected, at least from what I was reading in box office forecasts, it's expected to duel Saw for the number one spot.
I don't
like
doubt that at all.
It's going to be the creator.
You think so?
That's what they're saying. That Saw and this are going to duel for the top spot, which means the creator can only come in third.
It could.
That's surprising a little bit.
Well, I think what's, I don't know. Not based on your recommendation, but I would think the creator would be the best of the three.
No, I agree. I'm surprised that that's what they're forecasting, is that that's where they think people are going this weekend.
One, because the creator isn't based on a previous anything. So there's that.
Oh, that's true. An existing IP, and both of these have that going for them.
Yes.
You know, here's the problem. Well, I guess this is a chance just to talk for a second. We complain that there's no originality in Hollywood, and that it's just mining the same intellectual properties over and over again. But what is Hollywood supposed to take away from a weekend where, and we'll see, of course, next week's movie show top 10 will tell us for sure how this exactly played out, but a new property, a brand new original idea, an original screenplay with some money behind it and some great looking special effects and a pretty good cast. Gemma Chan's in the creator also. And if it comes in third to Paw Patrol movie and the 10th entry in the horror torture franchise, I mean, we can't blame anybody but ourselves.
True, but I will say this, after having seen Saw 10 last night, it is much, much better than, like, at least most of the ones that have come before the first one. Now, I know it's all torture porn, and I get that, but there's more of a story here, and there's actually a little bit more of a explaining of how this whole thing comes about.
Oh, okay.
Because Tobin Bell is back, and
right.
That is a huge difference. So having said that, we'll get to that later, but
yeah.
I thought, you know, Paw Patrol is a cute movie. The problem with the creator is it borrows. It borrows.
It does,
from
but
a lot
for
of
a younger audience, they haven't seen 2001 A Space Odyssey. They probably, depending on who they, maybe they haven't seen Terminator. They haven't watched all the Star Trek.
What about
the
Rogue One people? Would the Rogue One people go see this because they know that
I would think
Edwards
so,
would be
because
the guy?
Rogue One's the most loved of the Star Wars Disney films.
So we'll
easily
just say
the most loved.
Rogue One creator wrote and directed this movie. Go see it.
Yeah, I hope that's enough.
Well, we'll see.
That's what we will. Okay. When we come back on the movie show, our next segment will be movie news, and we got a lot of different things to talk about.
It's the world famous KSL Movie Show on KSL News Radio.
All right, Steve, it's time for movie news.
Not just any news.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
Movie news on the KSL Movie Show.
Well, obviously the big news, as far as we're concerned, is the resolution of the Writers Guild strike that happened, like an hour, like after we went off the air last week. We talked, and hopefully it'll get resolved, and then boom, it was resolved within a day after that. But so what does that mean? Essentially what it means right now is with the actor strike not resolved is that all these writers can go back to work writing for your favorite TV show, movies, and for, you know, all the projects that have now gotten behind.
They and can you go know back. They've been doing it this whole time.
Actually, I was reading. There's a lot of chatter that this is different. When the writer's strike ended back in 2008, there was a ton of what they call spec scripts, which is when they've written stuff but they haven't been commissioned to do it.
Right.
And they're not expecting as many this time because actually everybody put time in on the picket line for the last few months.
Yeah, whatever.
Supposedly. But that's supposedly.
Oh, but spec scripts are always kind of difficult to get produced. I'm talking about guys who have been writing for TV shows or have been writing these movies, you know, and they know the next one's coming.
Yeah.
It's in the can. I mean, they've written it. They just have to polish it up or whatever.
And they said, I did read that it takes about 6 to 8 weeks of writing before they need the actors anyway, especially for like network television and some of the streaming series. So they're okay if it takes a while before the actor strike gets resolved because they're not ready to shoot the stuff that they've got to finish writing.
They're going to be much quicker this time, though, I'm sure of it.
And live TV stuff like The Comedians and Saturday Night Live are coming back much sooner than scripted stuff. There is a chance now that we'll
next
get
week.
At least a half season starting in the spring. So that's the resolution of the writer's strike.
Anyway, that's the first step. People shouldn't think, oh, everything's great. No, this is step one towards getting TV and
that's
and
true
theaters
but like
back.
I said they have about 6 to 8 weeks before they gotta have the actors is what I was reading a writer who writes for television saying. But the good news is now we're a step closer.
All right, ready for this one?
Yeah.
So Martin Scorsese is doing a lot of press.
I had a feeling this one was coming up.
Oh, you've heard this one. He says that Warner Brothers wanted to make Departed into a franchise.
Oh, no, I didn't hear that one. I heard the other stuff he was saying.
Oh.
Where he was bashing Marvel movies
again. Oh, he's always done that. But in this case, he said, yeah, Warner Brothers wanted to make Departed into a franchise, and they were ticked off when he murdered everyone in the movie. I can't remember everything.
I did hear that they really tried to talk him out of one particular character's death.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it, but I know of a couple people that died. But when I've seen the scene, even though it's out of context, I was like, oh, wow, wouldn't have expected that.
It should have been called Headshots the Movie. Okay. I mean, it was like, oh, are you kidding me? How many times are you going to shoot these people in the head? That's crazy.
So Marty Scorsese, I'm guessing he fought back against that, knowing how he feels about franchises.
Well, he definitely didn't want to do it, and that's why he murdered everyone.
He made sure there was going to be no sequels to that movie.
Exactly.
All right, here's something that, you know, especially here in Utah, The Sound of Music is one of the most beloved musicals, especially
movies.
My father-in-law's favorite. A new version of the soundtrack of the movie, featuring more than 40 previously unreleased tracks and unheard vocals by Christopher Plummer, will debut on December 1st. It's called the Super Deluxe Edition, and it has 11 alternate takes from the film that audiences have never heard before. Now, if you remember, Christopher Plummer did not record, he recorded songs for the film, but in the movie, his vocals were ultimately dubbed over by Bill Lee. But now, 60 years later,
what?
Christopher Plummer's versions will be available for fans to hear.
You know, he really did not like doing that movie. Didn't like Julie Andrews. They did not get along.
Well, they hit it very well on screen.
They loved each other. Well, they're actors.
That's the thing. So you'll actually get to hear Christopher Plummer sing those songs. There's actually alternate versions of songs. In fact,
so he didn't do Edelweiss? That's not him?
That's Bill Lee in the movie.
Wow.
In fact, previously unheard songs include The Little Dears, which combines I Have Confidence and My Favorite Things, as well as a song called New Governess, which was never featured in the film.
And how are we going to hear these?
It's going to come out in the Super Deluxe Edition released to the public on December 1st.
The movie itself with all these
editions? No.
Oh,
just the soundtrack.
I don't
know if they're going to do it. I didn't see that.
Okay.
All right. So
one other thing. Michael Gambon passed away.
I was going to say, I was hoping we would mention that.
He was 82 years old. I mean, he did a lot more than just Harry Potter movies, by the way.
No, but that's what he's best known for. He had to take over for Richard Harris. My goodness, people were quick to text when we didn't say he took over for Richard Harris in the role.
Yeah. Yeah,
that
was a big deal.
So,
and then David McCallum. I love David McCallum. Ever since he was in Man from U.N.C.L.E., he was 90 years old. How do you start a new career at 70 when he started doing NCIS? And he went all the way through, I mean, until he passed away. That's unbelievable to me. But he was in The Great Escape, and he was the Man from U.N.C.L.E. I love that guy. I mean, that was my show growing up. Him and Robert Vaughn, you know, the men from U.N.C.L.E., Ilya Kuryakin.
That's actually a show I have never seen. Sorry.
You're going to have
but
to make
you
a
can
list.
Love it. That's okay. And that is movie news.
It's the KSL Movie Show.
The end is inevitable. You kind of set it for extinction.
Maybe so, sir. But not today.
The week's big movie review. Movie news, games, and prizes. Here's Andy Farnsworth and Steve Sales.
Right now, we are being so unoffensive, we might as well be a Hallmark Christmas movie. You know what I'm saying?
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
I'm marveling today at the wavelength match between Steve and our producer Stone, who's out here at my hearing center.
We are linked.
Because they are definitely finishing each other's sandwiches, and it is impressive.
Sandwiches?
That's from Frozen. It's a song. Everybody under a certain age just got that reference. But we are talking about movies. Our text question of the week, and we even put it on our Facebook page, KSL Movie Show Facebook page.
How dare you?
And boy, this is one that we've definitely hit a vein of people that want to tell you a movie that you loved but didn't do well at the box office. We've had texts pouring in at 57500.
That means they'd have to actually look it up to see if it bombed first, and then are they just
saying?
Well,
some of them are just going with ones they don't. It's not really considered a blockbuster.
Oh, okay.
Here's a vote on our Facebook page for Tremors with Kevin Bacon. I know you love Tremors.
Oh, that's so bad it's good.
Here's a good one. Going with recency. Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny.
Oh, that's
adorable.
That
is considered a bomb based on what they thought. Another vote for John Carter. There is a lot of secret John Carter love here.
Wow.
Let's see. My son and I loved Edge of Tomorrow.
That was Mark a great
says,
movie.
Mark says Edge of Tomorrow and Oblivion.
I loved them both.
A couple of Tom Cruise. Prince of Persia. I didn't see that till it was out on TV, and I enjoyed that a lot.
Yeah, that's a good movie.
Joe versus the Volcano. Tom Hanks back in the 80s.
Yeah.
Three Amigos. Did that do well at the box? I don't know. Outside of Ghostbusters in the mid-80s and a couple of others, I don't know what did well at the box office. Here's one. The Flash. This year's The Flash.
Oh, that's an excellent choice.
I'll toss one on. Shazam, Fury of the Gods.
Oh, absolutely.
I enjoyed the heck out of that.
It was better than the first one.
And people didn't really go see it. So that's our question of the day. A movie that didn't do well at the box office that you loved. All right, Steve, it's time for Big Streaming Review.
Planning a weekend on the couch? Streaming your favorite movie or a new show? Andy and Steve sort through it all so you only binge the best. It's the Movie Show Streaming Reviews on KSL News Radio.
And our streaming reviews are sponsored by the Joshua Stern Team. Visit sternteam.com to learn your home's real value in 30 seconds. Click sell, then home evaluation. All right, Steve, let's lead it off with The Wonderful World of Henry Sugar.
Okay. Oh.
We have sound from it.
Oh, good.
I'm a man who can see without using his eyes.
This is a terrific piece of information. This could change my life.
An extraordinary thing happened. All at once, he sees through his own skin. Like an X-ray, only better, he sees everything. Henry was now almost certainly capable of making money faster than any other person in the entire world. Interesting.
All right, so this is based on the same story written by Roald Dahl, The Wonderful World of Henry Sugar.
Isn't it exactly the same?
Yeah, that's the story, yeah. He wrote a bunch of short stories, Roald Dahl did, not just like, you know, the full book length. But
I'm thinking this might be the exact, I mean...
It feels like it's word for word the entire short story.
Exactly.
But what makes this so unique is the all-star cast, and it's directed by Wes Anderson, and it's 40 minutes long.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. I know, we don't normally do, like, you know, short movies, but this one is so good. And you got Benedict Cumberbatch, you got
Ben Kingsley,
you got Dev Patel.
And Ralph Fiennes.
Oh, Ralph Fiennes plays, Roald.
He's under so much makeup, I only recognized him by his voice.
Yeah. And it is brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant.
It is. Okay, so last week we were laughing at No One Will Save You, where it went 2 hours with no dialogue.
Oh, I've got some explanation, but I won't give that away. But
this is the reverse of that. This is so much dialogue that they don't take a breath. It's almost like they took an hour and a half movie and they clipped out any point where somebody wasn't talking and they pushed it all together. And it's hypnotizing how
it's
good it is.
It's pure words. I mean, how could you do Roald Dahl better than just having it say it's like you're reading the short story, except really cool people are telling you the story. That is brilliant.
It feels like stream of consciousness. What makes it so impressive is how long they would hold a single take where either Benedict Cumberbatch or Ralph Fiennes or whoever is, or Dev Patel, because he has a really long soliloquy in there, where they just, how they had that memorized and then it just shows you why they're such good actors, is the ability. The movie's already almost over if you started watching it as we started this review. That's how quick it seems to go by, but it is transfixing. I love Roald Dahl. I much prefer Wes Anderson's take on Roald Dahl than, say, Tim Burton's takes on Roald Dahl, where they get really into darkness. This is like a light take, and so I thought it was great.
I was absolutely brilliant. I watched this like, holy crap, this is awesome.
And it's rated PG, and it is 40 minutes long, and it's streaming on Netflix.
Absolutely. You must see.
And especially if you're a Wes Anderson fan, because this feels so, I mean, it is Wes Anderson-y to a T.
Oh, and all these actors are just incredible in it. So,
They move backgrounds around while they're talking. Like,
well, that's definitely Wes Anderson when stuff goes flying up and out of the way.
It's like they could have done this on the stage almost.
Oh, it feels like a stage play.
Yeah. All right. So that is The Wonderful World of Henry Sugar. Now let's talk about Flora and Son. Ooh, yeah.
Jesus Christ, it's like a club in here. Turn it down a second.
Was that yours? How did you make that? It sounded epic.
Why don't you ask her out?
Can I try that on?
It's too big.
That's the look.
Yeah, for turtles.
She's totally out of my league.
Let's write a song.
Just to hear your passion.
She hated it. Yo, just get out of my way, woman.
Gladly.
Well, this is maybe the movie of the week for me. Flora and Son.
Sorry about the beginning of that.
Yeah.
Even though those are the only two words you probably understood of that whole clip of dialogue.
This is so Irish brogue. This is Eve Hewson, who's famous. Well, first of all, she's a heck of an actress.
Oh,
but
amazing.
Probably people would know her more as she's Bono's daughter, the U2 lead singer Bono. It's his daughter.
Seriously?
Yeah. Oh, so I guess maybe everybody didn't know that.
I did not know that.
That is Bono's daughter. And she finds an old guitar. She gives it to her son. It's a single mom and her son. He refuses it. They're at complete odds. She's not a great mom. She tries, but, you know, she had him at 17, and there's a lot of resentment built in within her. He doesn't take it, so she fixes it up, and she decides to take some online guitar lessons, meets Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who's a online guitar instructor from California, and they immediately bond over music.
Yeah,
and
that's she's in Dublin, by the way.
She's in Dublin, Ireland, exactly. And they bond, and that's just, it's just a, it's a, I was captivated.
Okay, I didn't know that this was a John Carney movie. Now, for those of you who've seen Once or Sing Street or Begin Again, I think that was the one with Mark Ruffalo. I didn't like that as much as I loved Once. I loved Sing Street. And this is another John Carney movie, and it's done brilliantly. It's got some sass, though. There are some moments in there where like, ew.
Probably. Yeah, the language, unfortunately, this one broke my heart because I would recommend this to so many people that I feel like I can't necessarily do just because of the – and there's some really saucy language parts.
Well, yeah, when she starts talking to her ex, Jack Rayner, that was like, ooh, key, don't need that.
And then just a lot of other language. I mean,
it fits
the flip
the
side is
though.
The brogue is so thick that sometimes you won't even realize they're swearing probably.
Well, I had the subtitles on. So,
so yeah, you know.
I saw it all.
All right, but this is Flora and Son, and I mean, the power of music.
Yes.
It's just – when I was done, I was like – before it was done, I was like, I think this is my movie of the week. And I watched it last night, so I'd seen everything else, and I saw this, and I was like, I like this the best of the week by far.
Here's the weird thing. They've submitted it for best song, that High Life,
okay,
at the end, and best supporting actor, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, fine.
Okay, but
what
why
about
not Eve?
Eve?
Oh, yeah.
I'm with you. That's a huge mistake because she was powerful. She is gritty. She is tough and just love her performance in this film.
And I loved the story, and it worked for me on every level. I just wish it wasn't rated R so I could recommend it to more people, but it is on streaming, so, you know, maybe that'll help. That's on
and
Apple.
And it's The District. It's playing at The District.
Oh, it's playing at The District also? Oh,
yes.
So you could see it in theaters too.
Absolutely.
Oh, give it a shot in theaters if this intrigues you at all. That's Flora and Son in theaters and on Apple TV Plus.
Love this movie.
Awesome. Okay, well, we'll talk about some more streaming stuff later in the show as we return on The Movie Show.
The Movie Show.
It ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
On KSL News Radio.
Well, we've been doing our big streaming reviews, and we talked about The Wonderful World of Henry Sugar, Flora and Son. I did have a texter say, why can't these be in theaters? Well, good news is Flora and Son you can catch in theaters.
Yes.
Wonderful World of Henry Sugar, sorry, that one's only on Netflix.
Is it Netflix or Apple?
Wonderful World of Henry Sugar is on Netflix.
Okay, okay.
Good. Wonderful, yeah. Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar. I keep calling it World, but I think it's Story.
Yeah, it is Story. Wonderful Story.
Yeah. Okay, so, but now we have some more stuff on streaming again. These are two, well, one of them's a movie. Let's talk about Reptile. Mm.
I walked in the front door. I called out for her.
Hello?
No answer.
And then what? Is there anyone you can think of who might have done this?
A few nights ago, this guy showed up at my house, acting strange.
Strange in what way?
Who do we like from this?
I'll go with the boyfriend.
I got the friend.
I'll take the weirdo.
I'm going with the ex-husband.
Are you
going
to tell me what's going on?
All right, so Reptile stars Benicio Del Toro as a homicide detective assigned to work the murder of a female realtor in his town. Evidence points to a whole bunch of different people all along the way, including her boyfriend, played by Justin Timberlake, who you heard in the clip, her ex-husband, and a local man who's angry with Justin Timberlake's character. And so as Del Toro's investigation gets deeper, the more disturbing things he finds and the larger the potential conspiracy goes.
Here's the fun thing about this movie. So when they go, "Wow, look at that creepy guy," my daughter and I were going, "Red herring!" Right. So we call out the red herring. So, you know, you get extra points if you know who it isn't.
Yes. But did you know who it was?
I had a pretty good idea. That's the thing about this. It's a little bit too predictable and way too long. It's 2 hours and 13 minutes long. It didn't need to be that long. It's a lot of Benicio going, I'm very puzzled by this case.
I don't know. I thought they kept me guessing pretty well. I figured that it wasn't the one that looked the most obvious at first. But then here's the thing. All of them look kind of obvious. All the suspects look kind of obvious at one point or another. I was a little bit surprised where it went. There's one particular twist with a phone call that I had to rewatch really quickly because I was like, wait, what just happened? Thankfully, it was on streaming, so I could rewind it.
Was that when it looked like somebody was answering, but somebody else answered? And
that, too. And then there was another one that I'll tell you off air because I don't want to give away any of the plot. But I actually found it to be really interesting. It was a little bit too long. I think you're right. I couldn't think when I was watching it what I would have chopped off necessarily. But it did feel like there was some way they could have shortened it. Maybe the thing where Del Toro's threatening the guy who is being friendly to his wife, Alicia Silverstone.
Well, I actually kind of like that scene.
Yeah. But, I mean, it would, as far as it went, it didn't necessarily...
I thought his backstory, what was the point of that? I mean, it really didn't play any significance.
I think it was so that you're not necessarily supposed to trust him or I don't know. I can't talk about it much more without giving away plot details, but this is Reptile. It is rated R, and it is streaming
on Netflix.
By the
way, somebody that should have got their comeuppance did not in this movie.
Not in the movie, but they'll get it later, probably. Well, in Reptile 2, Second
that.
Skin.
Oh!
Patent pending.
Are you molting right now?
All right, so that is Reptile on Netflix. We also have, Steve, let's really talk quick about Gen V over on Prime Video.
Okay, you know, we have sound?
No, it's a series.
So, if you've seen The Boys.
I have not.
It is very violent.
It is
about superheroes, and they are jerks.
I believe it is. What if we could do a superhero show where we just let the superheroes be completely wild and
debauched? Oh, wild is
debauched.
Not the word. They are messed up. And so is this. This is Gen V is about kids that are self-aware that their parents put them into the V compound and made them into superheroes, not knowing how it would affect them later in life, and now some of these kids are really super messed up.
So this isn't superhero teens in college?
Yes.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah, it's sort of like Hogwarts for super kids.
For debauched superheroes.
But they're messed just up. Messed up. Wow. Clancy Brown is like the headmaster of this place. But it is, I'm telling you, I was laughing and I was describing to my daughter, because I had my headphones on while I was watching on the computer. And I said, you're not going to believe this scene. She goes, what kind of garbage are you watching? And yeah. That's probably why I stopped watching The Boys about a season and a half into it, because it just got so disgusting. It's oddly funny, though, very darkly funny, but you have to have the thickest skin on the planet to get through this. Even though there's some funny bits in it, there's some really unbelievable, horrifying things that they do to themselves or other people. So just be aware. Having said that, I watched the first six episodes, there are only two left, and I was kind of hooked on it, even though I was like maniacally laughing and describing horrifying scenes to my adult daughter, by the way. I'm not going to, you know, it's bedtime stories daughter. With daddy. She was like, Dad, that sounds absolutely horrifying. I go, but you got to put it in context. Don't watch this. If you have any sensibilities that can be poked at, because wow.
All right. And that's Gen V on Prime Video. All right. When we get back, we'll come back with the movie show top 10 on the movie show here on KSL News Radio.
10, 9, the KSL Movie Show, Top 10. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
And it's time for the Movie Show Top 10, sponsored by Call Climate Services. And Steve,
sir,
it's hit 300 million in the U.S. Is it going to hit 500 million in the U.S.?
What?
Oppenheimer.
No.
Number 10.
No.
No?
It's at 927 worldwide, and it's not going to hit a billion.
But is it going to hit a billion worldwide?
605 foreign. Worldwide, 927. No.
Okay.
It's running out of gas.
It's finally run out a little bit of steam.
Yeah.
Okay. And Oppenheimer, and we both liked it, but some people really loved it.
Oh, some people say it's the best movie of the year, or maybe of the decade.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Number 9, Blue Beetle.
That's plugging along. 70 domestic, 55 foreign. It's at 125.
Interestingly enough, we've had at least one vote for Blue Beetle as the movie that didn't make much at the box office, but that they really liked.
Well, comparative to other superhero movies, he's right.
Yeah, and probably what they were hoping that it was going to make. It's kind of interesting. Maybe there's a bunch of movies that came out since the strike began in the early July. That got no promotion, and so they didn't do that well at the box office, but they were actually pretty good. Gran Turismo comes to mind, didn't make as much as they hoped, but I really enjoyed. So there may be a lot from the summer of 23 that
Barbie was kind of a disappointment.
That. Yeah, Barbie excluded, of course. Number 8, Dumb Money premiere. Well, okay, this was a staggered release, so it was new to us last week, but it's
well, here's
in the
how
top
this works.
10.
So it came out actually 2 weeks ago in 8 theaters. Then last week at 616 theaters.
Okay.
So that's why the trickle out. But it's going wide this Friday.
This Friday. Dumb Money. Today. We talked about it last week. Funny, great moments, so crude.
Yeah, I ran into a friend who, normally wouldn't handle that kind of stuff. He said, I thought it was pretty good.
Okay.
So he blew off the lyrics. The lyrics.
The language and the lyrics. And I will say that, probably language-wise, Flora and Son had more specifically gross potential dialogue than some of what was in Dumb Money. But just Dumb Money had a whole lot more of it, and in an American accent, so you could understand the swears so much better.
That's right. I mean, for some reason, Irish brogue, even when you're cussing, sounds funny.
Number 8, Dumb Money. And then number 7, It Lives Inside.
Yeah, this one maybe was too specific to a culture, and so it's still kind of scary, but the resolution was dumb.
Number 6, My Big Fat Greek Wedding 3.
No.
Steve did not like it. I enjoyed it for what it was. It's not like high art cinema.
It's made 25 domestic, 7 foreign at 32.
It's
total.
Not doing well, but it is. It made $3 million last week. It's good for number 6. Mm-hmm. All right, number 5, Barbie still hanging out in the top 5.
Jeez, here's the number. 631 domestic, 797 foreign, $1.428 billion.
For Barbie.
After, 100 weeks, still at number 5?
Something like that, yeah. It hasn't dropped out of the top 5 in the 10, 11 weeks that it's been out. Number 4, The Equalizer 3.
This has done pretty well. 82 domestic, 67 foreign, 150 total. And it's been out for, 2 or 3 weeks?
Yeah, I thought it was okay. I hadn't seen the first two Equalizers. It was definitely violent, but for some reason I felt like it wasn't violent the whole movie, but when it was pretty violent.
The quantity of violence was bigger in this one than the other two.
Okay.
Quantity.
There was a lot of blood in it, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Number 3, A Haunting in Venice.
Yeah, this isn't trickling along. 27 domestic, 46 foreign. It's at 73 worldwide.
I'm hoping it'll do the thing. We're getting into October now, and that it'll be there just enough that then once people are kind of in the mood to go, even if they don't know that it's a Poirot Agatha Christie mystery, they'll give it a shot because it was enjoyable.
Yeah, and I liked the scenery. I thought Venice looked really interesting.
Yeah, there's this huge spiraling shot at the end where it just keeps showing you Venice from up above where Poirot is. And
what a nice little
gorgeous
little rooftop view he had of the whole
thing. And because of the time period that it was set in, I was looking to see if Indiana Jones and Elsa were running across some rooftops somewhere, but I didn't see them in the background. So, all right, number two, The Expendables.
The Undesirables, 10 domestic, 3 foreign, 13 million. Oh, boy.
Last week you called it The Indefensibles.
I can say everything except the actual title.
And I do want to point out that Dead Air Dave, who loves Expendables, he was there Thursday night to see it.
Attaboy.
And he liked it. He said it's the weakest of the franchise, but he enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And he also wanted to push back that I thought Over the Top wasn't that great of an action film. Yeah. Yeah. All right, Dave, there you go. And then number one, The Nun 2.
3 weeks in a row. That's amazing. 71 domestic, 135 foreign. It's at 206 for a movie that can't have been that much to produce.
Is it going to be – is The Nun – are the audiences all going to go to Saw now?
Well, Saw has its own audience.
Oh, okay.
So it's a whole different ball game. And I'm just going to say, if you're a Saw fan – this is probably the best since the first one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And by best, I mean, you know,
yeah.
We're
going to have to define it.
Setting the bar here.
We'll define that when we do that review coming up in a little bit. But that is our movie show top 10, The Nun 2, sitting at number one for the second straight week. It defeated Expendables.
Yeah.
In its opening week. All right, the question we've asked you today on our text line is, what movie did not do well at the box office but that you love? Another vote in for It's a Wonderful Life. Here's one, Strange Brew, eh?
Oh.
Do you remember that one from the 80s? Batman, Mask of the Phantasm, that was an animated one. It did go to theaters first, but then it kind of gained a cult following on VHS at the time. Sahara, Matthew McConaughey, the Clive Cussler novel.
Yikes.
Let's see. Another It's a Wonderful Life. Not sure if this flopped in theaters, but I liked it. Better Off Dead. Love Better Off Dead.
Oh, yeah,
that's a cult one. Dream a Little Dream with Corey Haim and Corey Feldman.
Aww.
Yeah. Another John Carter.
Cheer for the Coreys.
Solo. People hated that movie, and it's so good. Oh. Solo, a Star Wars story. Remember the movie Solo that was about the lady who crashed the plane from the 80s?
No.
Yeah. It scared the tar out of me when I was a kid. The Secret Life of Walter Mitty with Ben Stiller.
That's a great film.
And The Man from U.N.C.L.E. with Henry Cavill.
Yes.
You like both of those? I've seen the original Walter Mitty with Danny Kaye, but I haven't seen the Ben Stiller one.
Oh, it's good. It's really good.
Okay. Well, that was in the era when I had kids that were small, and that was when we didn't get out to the theater much. So maybe that's one we'll throw in for family
clean
movie night. That's what I was going to say. We'll throw it in for family movie night. So that is the Movie Show Top 10. That is our text question. Keep sending your suggestions to us at 57500. Movie that bombed, but that you loved.
The Movie Show.
Spock, you haven't changed a bit. You're just as warm and sociable as ever.
Nor have you, Doctor. As your continued predilection for irrelevancy demonstrates.
On KSL News Radio.
We've been taking your texts, your favorite movie that didn't make much at the box office, but that you loved. I got to read a couple of these because I agree with them. One of them is The Shadow with Alec Baldwin from the early to mid-90s, Penelope Ann Miller, Tim Curry, based on a 1940s radio program. It did not do well at the box office, but somebody really enjoyed it. And then there's somebody who put Night and Day, the Tom Cruise Cameron Day movie.
Oh, that made money.
Cameron Day, Cameron Diaz movie.
That had to have made money, right? No,
apparently not.
I got
one surprised
for you.
How many Tom Cruise movies didn't make as much at the box office, but that people really enjoyed. That's weird.
So they're closet Tom Cruise fans.
Well, I mean, even Mission Impossible 7, it didn't do what we thought, even though it was really enjoyable.
It made $400 million.
But it was supposed
it's
to
not
make
Barbie
more
money, but that's true.
Here, far West with this? Studio C. Go West with Studio C.
Kiss Kiss Bang Bang with Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, Robert Downey Jr. and Val Kilmer. The writing is hilarious.
Who did that one?
I don't know.
Isn't it Guy Ritchie?
Mm,
I feel like maybe he was on that, but I could be wrong.
No, you're right. You're right.
Woo, I got it right. Okay, well, Steve, we got to review another movie before we finish out this hour, and we are going to review Fair Play.
Oh, yeah, this one.
Look into this. Let me know what you think.
I'm still working on the three from before.
Okay, I'll make this one the priority. Can I buy another?
Now that you're making more money than me?
Oh.
What are you doing?
You know it's just a game.
You played very well.
Are you going to pitch me to Campbell?
I don't think it's a good idea. We both can't keep working here.
I'm not quitting. This firm has become my religion. You have become my God. You give me this opportunity, I will give you everything I got.
Speaking of Solo.
Yeah. Alden Ehrenreich stars as a guy who works at a investment equity hedge fund place. His job as an analyst is to decide where the bosses should spend their money to make more money. And, you know, everybody wants to become what's essentially, at least what I gathered from watching the movie, is you're like the partner at a law firm. You make like a managing partner at this investment firm.
Well, you get an office with a view, too.
Yeah, and you get more money, and then you have all the analysts reporting to you. Well, Alden Ehrenreich and his girlfriend, which they can't, they work together but can't let anybody at the office know. Actually, it's more than his girlfriend. It's his fiance. But look, we're not going to have enough time to go into all this because I know you and I have some thoughts on this. I thought it was essentially she gets the promotion instead of him. They're expecting it to be him. It becomes her, and that changes their entire relationship. And he is so into her before, but when that happens and the power dynamic shifts, it shifts everything, not just the workplace.
Yeah, and that's where the movie's the strongest. What you're going to have to wade through, though, is an early explicit scene that will really throw you off.
It is one of the grossest things I have ever seen in a movie that you can watch in theaters.
Okay, that's
pretty... how I felt about that scene.
Well, so that scene, if you get Pat, maybe just come late. I don't know. How do you...
I don't know if there's a way around it. And I mean, the weird thing is I kind of get why it's even in there, at least.
Well, the shock value.
Well, shock value, but I mean, there's a little bit more. It's one. It's to demonstrate how into this girl he is.
Yeah, and then but the ending also felt way over dramatized when they, you know, the scene with the knife thing.
Oh yeah. But I mean,
but in between, it's a brilliant movie.
It is, and it's a fascinating study of power dynamics and just how ingrained it is to us in our culture. Like for him, they're supposed to both be their goal was for both of them to get to that level at some point.
Yeah.
But the fact that she got there first changes everything.
Well, and also Eddie Marsden, who is the boss, he sort of sets the parameters for all that.
Oh, yes.
He might be that good, but Eddie Marsden's already made up his mind.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. So there's a lot about workplace.
Yeah.
Politics and different things. But it's a fascinating study, but you will have to get past some very gross stuff. And there's a very difficult scene at the end as well to have to watch. So I can't recommend it, even though I really liked the story and I liked the examination of the power dynamic.
Well, it's definitely rated R. I gave it a B-, and it's because they took a great movie and they threw some stuff in there that didn't need to be there.
Yeah, and for me it was 2 stars and maybe even 1.5. That's how grossed out I was by what I had to see. Mm. So it soured the whole thing for me. All right, that is Fair Play. And is it, I know it's going to Netflix, but is it in theaters right now?
It's in select theaters, including the Megaplex theaters and the Broadway, and it will be on Netflix next Friday.
Okay.
It's the KSL Movie Show.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The week's big movie review, movie news, games, and prizes. Here's Andy Farnsworth and Steve Sales.
We're slow learners. We're not particularly good listeners.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Well, we're live at My Hearing Centers for the movie show today, and Steve, it is time to review our other big movie of the week, and it's going to be what Steve Dunn saw.
Saw 10.
Thank you. So let's listen to a clip from Saw 10. Let's make sure that this clip is approved for radio, Gustavo.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear a bunch of or some kind of gross stuff.
Too late.
According to these scans, the tumor was never removed.
How much time do I have?
Months, at best.
I still have a lot of work that needs to be done.
Hello, everyone. It's time to play a game. You all pretended to cure me. But what I have planned for each of you is very real.
Well, Steve, they didn't screen this one for critics, and unfortunately last night when I was fully intending to go, I had an emergency root canal that I had to go in, which then got canceled, so it turned out I could have gone anyway. Darn it.
Wow, dog ate your homework. Is that what's happening?
Yeah, all of those things.
So, you know, if you're going to try to, you know, scam a guy, you probably wouldn't want to pick John Kramer. You know, he's famous for being, you know, the whatever, spiral.
Jigsaw?
Jigsaw, yeah, that's the one. So John Kramer goes to this fake lab in Mexico where they're going to, like, yeah, we're going to cure you. They didn't do anything, and so he, like, all right,
so
you got all my money.
Him out of his money. Ah.
Like 250 grand. So he's not very happy. And so
and that was all money that he earned being Jigsaw?
I don't know. I don't know how you make money torturing people, but anyway, it's kind of his thing. Anyway, so he decides, well, now I have motivation. Well, I guess you do because, you know, you're going to die in a few months, and he brings back his Miranda, his friend. I don't know what her story was. I can't remember exactly, but she shows up to help him, and the doctor, the anesthesiologist, the people that worked in the clinic, I mean, he's got them all in this one room in this old warehouse, and it's time to play a game. Now, here's the thing. They actually sort of go back to page one in that they explain why he's doing this. It doesn't justify.
This takes place, like, story. We've had 10 Saw movies. This is the 10th.
Right.
But this isn't 10th chronologically, correct? From what I read, it takes place between 1 and 2. Saw 1 and Saw 2.
Well, I guess they're ignoring that the other ones exist because it's been a long time since Tobin Bell has been the lead in one of these films.
Right, which is why I think it happens before number 2.
Okay, well, whatever. I've seen them all, but I couldn't tell you what lies where. But he is an interesting character in that he has this sort of, like, reverence for life. And if you want to live, you'll do something horrible and you'll survive. And then he'll, like, take you to the hospital. Like, he actually admires you for doing the thing that you don't want to do to survive. So he just wants to
That's incredibly warped.
No question about it. And some of the, I don't think he really gives them enough time to actually perform the task that he wants them to do, and then they're dispatched horrifically.
With extreme prejudice.
Yes. And so, yeah, there's no excuse for this, but I at least I understood it more, and this was more of a movie than just a bunch of set pieces.
Gross things all strung together.
Yeah.
Strung together. I shouldn't even say that when we're talking about Saw.
Yeah, no kidding.
Ugh.
So
I saw one publicity still for Saw 10, and I was like, I am so glad I didn't go see this.
Well, if it's what I'm thinking, I'm pretty sure there's some pretty gruesome deaths in this.
Well, it involves an X and what looks like a guitar string going from somebody's hand.
Oh.
I don't know if it's like if you have to – I don't know. I don't know. I didn't want to look at it any longer, but the X was like over the – anyway.
Yeah. Those who are fans of this, I'm just going to say, if you watch these movies and you appreciate them, I'm not going to say they're great films or whatever, but if you understand what they're doing and you appreciate what's happening, this is one of the better ones.
I did see reaction from some people I know who are horror fans. They said of the Saw movies, they liked this one up in the top two or three.
Yeah, agreed.
So,
I mean, believe me, most of these movies are cringeworthy, as is this one. But at least this one has some redemption, maybe.
So if you're going to do the Saw Patrol doubleheader of Saw 10 and Paw Patrol, which one do you go to first?
Well, throw the kids into the Paw movie, and then you go see
the
Saw.
This one's the doubleheader. You both go to different theaters altogether.
Yeah.
I like that.
No crossover on this one.
All right. So Saw 10, rated R, and?
B-.
B-minus from Steve. Okay. Steve, here's some more texts that have come in on movies that didn't do well at the box office, but that are personal favorites. Man from Snowy River.
Oh,
didn't know that one didn't do well at the box office, but I'm not surprised. The Intern with Robert De Niro, the one where he's, I believe,
a cute movie.
He's intern with Anne Hathaway, right?
Yeah, right.
Pixels, the Adam Sandler movie with the video games.
That was horrible.
It was kind of funny. How the West Was Won.
Yeah.
We got lots of votes for Shawshank Redemption. What was the one you were showing me, Stone, that Three Amigos, that it made 39, but it cost 25 to make? Secondhand Lions.
Oh, that was a good
my
one.
Dad liked that one a lot. He made me sit down and watch it, and I liked it. He liked it a lot. We also had some over on our Facebook page, which you can go to if you want to follow KSL Movie Show. We've had two different votes, one on text, one on Facebook. Might be the same person. Who knows? Joe versus the volcano.
All I remember is that big steamer trunk.
Let's see. Two votes for Xanadu. Armageddon made too much at the box office. Sorry, Kelly. That one doesn't count. And then we've had two votes for Newsies.
Really?
Didn't Newsies do well? I don't know. And here's one, My Stepmother is an Alien. I don't think I've ever seen that one. But
sounds familiar.
Anyway, movies that you loved but didn't do well at the box office, text us at 57500, and we'll keep reading them as we
Amsterdam
go along.
Amsterdam is another one, just from recent memory that Stone mentioned, with Robert De Niro and that big stud cast. It was done
Amsterdam.
By David...
Oh, yeah. It was like set... Margot Robbie's in that one, right?
Yeah. Everybody's in it.
Okay. Yeah, I never saw that one myself. I don't remember what the reason was I didn't get to that one, but okay. So that is our text question of the week. When we come back on the movie show, we will have telephone torture, so get ready to call 801-575-TALK. And our theme for the telephone torture this time is a dog-related movie.
The KSL Movie Show. Telephone torture.
All right, it's that time. Telephone torture, 575-TALK, 575-8255. We've already got people in line to win great prizes from our friends at the Larry H. Miller Megaplex Theaters. Steve, what prizes do we have today?
We have two tickets to a movie, we have two drinks, and a tub of popcorn, a movie of your choice, any of the Megaplex Theaters.
And that's the only one today?
That's
no extra bonus prizes. Do we still have the offer for the Taylor Swift?
Ooh,
you know what? Our buddy Jeff Whipple's usually pretty cool, so we're going to make that one of the prizes, if you want. But
well, great. I know he's on vacation, so I'd be thrilled to hear that.
Okay, maybe we won't do that. We'll just go with the Megaplex prize that we know about. But, hey, if you are excited about the Taylor Swift movie,
yeah,
then you keep listening to KSL News Radio because we are going to start. We've got some special stuff planned for the release of Taylor Swift's movie on KSL Radio, both with the movie show and all across our programming. We're going to have a special screening for KSL listeners only that you can win tickets to.
Will Travis Kelce be there?
At this point, he's not confirmed. All right, so let's get started. We've got our first caller on the line already. Our theme is a dog-related movie. Michael, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, Michael. First question. It's always a hard one. There's lots of dog movies to choose from. This is a dog movie told from the dog's point of view, and we hear the thoughts voiced by an actor.
Is it Iron Will?
Iron Will. That's a great movie about the Iditarod dog sled racing team. Brings tears to your eyes when you watch it. Gustavo, is that correct? No. Oh, Michael, good guess, but
well,
that is
a nice
not
way to say
correct.
You lose.
Okay, so first question incorrect. Who's on the line now? Don, are you ready, Don? You're not going to guess Star Wars, are you, Don?
No.
Because Chewbacca is not a dog.
Okay.
All right. Filmmakers canceled the U.S. premiere of this movie because some footage appeared before the movie was released that showed what appeared to be a distressed dog being forced into water. The American Humane Association later stated that the footage was misleadingly edited and no abuse had taken place. But there was no U.S. premiere of this movie because of concerns from some footage.
Yeah.
How about Beethoven?
Beethoven.
Well, about at least
the
you got the
giant
genre,
shepherd.
Right?
Ah, Gustavo, is that correct? Oh, but that's a good guess, Don. Appreciate you playing along for telephone torture today.
You are a good sport, Don.
You are. Okay, who's our third caller? Nate? Is that right, Nate? Or did I mishear you, Gustavo? It's Nate. All right, Nate. I guess we're not going to go to Nate. Who's our next?
Nate.
Steven, are you ready for question number three?
Yeah.
Yes.
Awesome. Okay, Stephen, have you listened to the first two clues?
Yes.
Okay, here's clue number three. It's not just about one dog. It's about many dogs, but all are voiced by the same actor, Josh Gad.
I'm not sure.
Not sure. Okay, just guess not a movie with a dog in it.
Life of Pets. Life of Pets.
Secret Life of Pets. Gustavo, is that correct?
You're killing me, Smalls.
Oh, but that's a good guess. Okay, now remember, if we do not get a winner on our line, you can text the correct answer to 57500, but I will save you the trouble because our savvy movie show listeners who've been listening for a long time have already texted in the correct answer. So we've got a correct answer texted in already, and if our next caller does not get it with this fourth question, we will take a texter. And we've had some incorrect guesses of good movies. We've had incorrect and correct guesses. So, all right, here we go. Final clue, who do we have? Matt. Matt, are you feeling good?
I think so.
Do you think you have the answer even before I ask the question?
I think so.
Okay, well, let me ask the question just to give yourself the best chance to win. Actors in this movie include Dennis Quaid, Peggy Lipton in what was her final role. That's Rashida Jones's mother, by the way. And Britt Robertson, who, in a funny bit of real-world trivia, is only 7 years older than the actor KJ Apa, who plays her son in the movie.
Well, I thought I knew it, but I don't think so. Doug's going to get The Art of Racing in the Rain.
The Art of Racing in the Rain?
That's the one where Kevin Costner does the voice of the dog.
Is that correct?
Don't give up. Challenge again.
Oh, that was a good guess. In fact, we've had several people who texted in that very same guess. And I will say this, Steve did suggest to me that that be the movie that we use for telephone torture. But I haven't seen that one, so I went with one that I had seen. All right. Good luck next time to our callers. Here is our winner then on the text line with the correct answer of A Dog's Purpose from 2017. Josh Gad voices the main character who, in a series of, you know, this is probably the only dog movie where dogs are die and you don't feel overly traumatized in the way that you did in things like Old Yeller, Where the Red Fern Grows, Marley and Me. But he keeps reincarnating, and each time he helps somebody else along the way, all in his quest to get back to Ethan, his owner, his original owner, who by the time, well, I guess I don't want to give it away, but Dennis Quaid plays the grown-up version of his dog.
Spoiler alert.
Well, I mean, Dennis Quaid's so featured heavily in the trailer.
Was Horse Dog in this movie?
Horse Dog?
Is the little donkey?
I don't swear remember. I didn't have time to look that up. But the answer is A Dog's Purpose, and our winner is the caller whose phone number ends 2112. You got it first. You sent the text in the quickest.
That's a work number.
I think it's a T-Mobile number, actually, as I look at the number. But at any rate, 2112, you win with A Dog's Purpose. Our producer, Gustavo, will text you to get your information and to find out or to let you know when you'll receive your prize from the Megaplex Theaters, which is two tickets to a Megaplex movie, two large drinks, and one tub of popcorn.
Yes, sir.
One large tub of popcorn. Congratulations and thanks to our friends at the Megaplex Theaters. So we'll take a break here for news, traffic, and weather on KSL News Radio and The Movie Show.
It's the KSL Movie Show.
It gave the audience feelings they weren't sure they should enjoy.
The week's big movie review, movie news, games, and prizes. Here's Andy Farnsworth and Steve Sales.
Like a slice of butter melting on top of a big old pile of flapjacks.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Thanks to everybody who participated in telephone torture. We still are getting texts with the correct and some still incorrect answers coming in. Everybody sent it in about the same time. Answer, of course, was A Dog's Purpose from 2017. Here we're still taking text as well of our question of the day, which is what movie did not do well at the box office but that you love.
By the way, Horse Dog was in the sequel or whatever that was,
A Dog's Journey.
Yeah.
Here's one, Steve, and I haven't seen this, and I get dirty looks every time I admit it. Labyrinth with David Bowie.
Dance, magic, dance.
Yes, and that that's one that didn't make much at the box office, but that people actually love. So, all right, we'll still take text through the top of the hour when we finish the show, 57500. But, Steve, let's review our last movie we haven't talked about yet, The Kill Room.
This classy art gallery run by this young lady will take a reasonable cut for herself and cut us a nice, clean check. That's the beauty of this, you cretin. This thing that looks like a Smurf with diarrhea can sell for $1 million, and the IRS wouldn't bat an eye.
What's the artist's name?
Bagman.
So, the reunion of Pulp Fiction stars Uma Thurman and Samuel L. Jackson.
That's true.
A chance for Uma Thurman to work with her daughter, Maya Hawke, who plays the artist, the petulant artist that stuff isn't selling in the gallery.
Yes.
Anyway, Thurman plays an art gallery owner approached by Jackson's character to work together on a scam to launder crime money by having Jackson's people use dirty money to purchase paintings done by one of the hitmen, but made by Thurman's gallery to seem as if it is a priceless work from a mysterious artist. But when word eventually leaks out into the art community about the work selling for high prices, suddenly the hitman's paintings become the hottest commodity that all the rich collectors desperately want. I can't believe how much I enjoyed the movie. I really did. It's got Joe Manganiello is the bag man. He's basically just a hitman who murders people by putting a bag over their heads. And he does Jackson's bidding.
Yeah, Like the bag you get at the grocery store.
Yeah, like not the paper bags. It's the plastic bags.
Yeah, when he says plastic or paper, he wants plastic.
So they just like paint this. He's like, well, I don't know how to paint. Well, just do it. So he channels his rage and he paints some stuff. And then of course they pretend that it's worth more, and it's not supposed to go out because it's just supposed to be laundering the money, and no one's supposed to hear about it. But in the world of overly rich people who have to buy stuff so that other people can't have it.
You saying it's making fun of rich people that have no idea what art is?
I certainly don't know what art is. But here's what I thought. Give me your thoughts, and then I'll sum up mine. I want to hear what you thought.
Well, I thought that the idea that, I mean, first of all, Joe, he was actually painting paintings. But then when he does his, what do they call it, performance art?
Well, the performance art at the end, but he does some, which would be the equivalent of sculpture, but it's like 3D art, where he takes some of those bags that he used and makes an art creation out of it.
And these bags have, you know, people's, you know, the blood.
Blood, yeah.
And which is weird, because when you choke somebody, you don't really bleed out. But anyway, I think that would have been pretty obvious that that bag was filled with somebody's blood. And they still were like, "Wee, you know, we got to have it."
So I feel like
that's where they lost me.
And they lost you at that, where the art people didn't care.
They were so exuberant. I get that they were trying to make fun of how ridiculous art, you know, the appreciation of art can be. But I still love Sam Jackson as the black dreidel. You know, that was hilarious.
He owns a Jewish bakery, essentially. And he runs, of course, bookmaking along with it. And
well, they keep calling him, you know, bagels, and he goes, "They're bialys." So
and he's got this weird giant gray chin beard that comes off of his chin, but
moves around so much he's staring at that instead of listening to what he's saying.
Well, but my thoughts, Uma Thurman has never looked bad. I mean, she looks gorgeous still. And it was good to see her just like biting into some kind of a role.
Oh, she's chewing scenery left and right here.
Yeah, and I thought it was kind of a fun, creative way, you know, she really starts to appreciate the bagman's art, and it turns out that he may have an actual little bit of talent for it. And, but it really does. I felt like it sends up the high-class art world the very same way The Menu sent up foodies last year. And that's where, as I watched it, I was like, this is like The Menu, only for the art world.
Okay,
the people with more money than they know what to do with, and this is what they choose to spend it on. And so it leads to a scene at the end that is it's funny in the I can't imagine it's as disturbing as anything that was in Saw. You've seen both, but it's not disturbing, but it's also like this terrible thing is happening right in front of them all, and like they're like applauding, and one person's wiping his eyes because of how moved he is by it, and you're like, oh my goodness.
So I guess the question there is, did they think it was real, or did they know it was real and they were appreciating that?
I don't know, and I think that's supposed to be ambiguous, honestly. Oh, okay. That's what I would guess. So that's The Kill Room. It is rated R, and it's only playing...
It's playing at the Jordan Landing.
Just at Jordan Landing. But I, you know, if you're into, like... It's like it's kind of a crime mystery thriller with a little bit of a puzzle added to it where... Well, I don't know. I just, all of its parts added up to something I ended up enjoying.
Well, Sam Jackson and Uma Thurman were having a time. They were having a great time.
They were. It's so true. You got Manganiello, too.
Well, yeah.
Now that he's fresh off his breakup with Sofia Vergara.
Oh, what are you, like Tiger Beat magazine?
Well, I've always had a crush on Sofia Vergara, so I don't know this thing. But, yeah. So that's Kill Room. If you want to see it, it is at Megaplex at the Jordan Landing. When we come back on our final segment, we will do Rapid Fire, where we'll go over everything in case you missed something from earlier in the show. We'll give you our quick thoughts on each one.
Which is likely, because yeah, we have covered a lot of ground.
We have covered a lot of ground.
The Movie Show.
Who's president of the United States in 1985?
Ronald Reagan.
Ronald Reagan, the actor?
On KSL News Radio.
A few more texts have come in on your favorite movie or a movie you loved that didn't do well at the box office at all. There's been some great suggestions. One of the things I like, Steve, about asking our listeners the text questions is they're giving me movie suggestions of either movies I hadn't thought about in a while, like, yeah, ooh, I'd like to go back and watch that, or ones that I've never seen that, hey, if you love this movie, maybe I should check it out. Here's one that says, I enjoyed The Cobbler starring Adam Sandler. His father's played by Steve Buscemi and Dustin Hoffman. Fun movie, but few people have seen it. That would include me.
Yeah,
that sounds
that.
Familiar.
The Shoemaker, yeah.
Drop Dead Gorgeous.
Okay.
Let's see. Was there any other? Oh, and we want to congratulate, by the way, our winner for Telephone Torture, Ron Newman from Riverton. We did get his name because usually Newman. We have him on the phone. Newman. All right.
I bet he's never heard that.
No, I bet never.
Hello, Newman.
You know, at FanX, Wayne Knight was actually here.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, my brother just hung out in Celebrity and would just talk to him when they didn't have a long line. And he talked with Wayne Knight for like 10, 15 minutes. He's really, really friendly, oh, fun, affable guy. So, yeah. All right. Well, it's time for our rapid fire segment as we get close to the end of today's movie show. That's where Steve and I go over everything we've talked about just kind of really quickly, just to give you a summary of what we thought. What we do, though, invite you to do, if you have only been able to hear part of the show, is to download the Movie Show podcast and listen to it. I've found it's a great companion if you're out on walks or we're on the treadmill or anything like that. Why not listen to us talk about movies and stuff that you love? And you can do that from either kslpodcasts.com, you can do it from kslnewsradio.com, or even easier, go to Spotify, Apple, or anywhere you get your podcasts. Just search KSL Movie Show, and you can listen.
I heard they're good at also chasing raccoons out of your chimney.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Just put it on.
Just put the movie show on in the base of the chimney, and those raccoons will run.
They will flee the scene.
All right. Steve, so our big movie was The Creator Sci-Fi, Gareth Edwards. You liked it a little bit more than I did.
See, this is the thing. You didn't care for it as much, and so I went, and the bar was set low.
Ah.
I enjoyed this movie. I actually thought it was really well done.
I thought the visuals were amazing, but for the big movie, it just didn't connect with me. It wasn't as original as I'd hoped, although it doesn't ruin it. It just meant I just couldn't go up to the next level for me. Paw Patrol, the mighty movie.
Yes, it's a movie.
It's a movie, and kids will love it, and
kids
they'll all howl at the end, apparently.
Yes, it's woo!
And I didn't get to see that one. Saw 10X, 10X, X10.
Well, I was expecting nothing, and it actually delivered kind of...
It delivered nothing?
No, it came back to its original kind of set piece, and it was the best of the Saw movies. I guess I've been beaten to death on this one, but yeah.
That's an interesting choice of words for the Saw movies.
Beaten to death.
Beaten to death. All right, that was Saw 10. Then we have Fair Play, a movie that I really never could fully... It was a movie that I wish didn't have a couple of scenes because it really soured me from being able to recommend it to other people. A great study of power dynamics in both relationships and the workplace, and especially if you mix those two.
Yeah, that part of it worked. And you're right. I was actually like, what? Flabbergasted.
And it's right at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
So that was so, fair play.
Go late if you're nervous.
Yeah. And then we have The Kill Room, which stars Uma Thurman, Sam Jackson, Joe Manganiello, and a few other people, about kind of sending up the art world in there and how odd it is for us regular people to try to understand why collectors pay what they pay for things that looked, as Sam Jackson described, like a monkey relieved itself.
Well, that's right. It's also educational if you want to know how money laundering is done.
It is that. So if you need a lesson, that's The Kill Room. On streaming, we have on Netflix The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar.
Actually, too short. That's the only complaint I had. This is probably my pick of the week, even though it's only 38 minutes long.
38 minutes, and it has Wes Anderson directing it, and Benedict Cumberbatch, Dev Patel.
Ben Kingsley,
and Ralph Fiennes.
It's brilliant.
Then we have Gen V on Prime, the series.
If you've seen The Boys, this is a college version of The Boys, and it is both shocking and darkly entertaining.
Then we have on Netflix Reptile, a movie starring Benicio del Toro and Justin Timberlake and Alicia Silverstone. I enjoyed it. It is long.
It's 2 hours and 15 minutes long.
But if you're interested, it doesn't feel that long.
Yeah, well, I think there's some things that they could have cut back on that. I do like the characters. I thought they were interesting, but I also figured it out way too early.
And it is a whodunit mystery. Again, Reptile on Netflix. And then we have Flora and Son on Apple TV+. Loved it.
Yes.
I just wish the language was toned down a bit, but everything else about it was just charming.
Yeah, but for me, the language fit because it was a very rough British London neighborhood.
Dublin.
Dublin. That's Irish. Right. It's an iron. But this is a John Carney film who did Once and Sing Street, and it's right up there with those.
Touching. Like, it's actually touching at times. Other things on streaming that we'll talk about really quick before we wrap it. Ahsoka and Only Murders in the Building, their final episodes air this coming week. This past week, we have everything setting up for the big finale, which means we'll finally find out who the killer is in Only Murders. We have Ahsoka, where...
There was a nice cameo in there.
There was. It was from a classic character that I won't spoil if you haven't seen it. So, and then The Morning Show continues. It continues to be a fascinating watch, I think, on Apple TV+.
Soap opera. And there's Castlevania Nocturne.
Castlevania, yes.
Castlevania. No?
It is Castlevania. Castlevania. It's based on the video game series.
That's an 8 episode that starts this week. It's apparently supposed to be really good. And I started watching Encounters, a Netflix doc that is a 4-part series. It's about people that have seen UFOs, and they're pretty credible, so it's kind of interesting.
Okay, so that is Rapid Fire. Again, we invite you to download the podcast at kslpodcast.com or anywhere you get your podcasts. Okay, well, thank you all for listening. For Steve Sales, I'm Andy Farnsworth. For Gustavo back at the studio, we appreciate your support on the movie show. Next week, Steve?
What?
Exorcist.
Oh, yeah. Where are you going to – what's your excuse next week?
I'll find one.
Okay.